So, momentous moves, and this morning I want to talk about a mandatory move. I want you for a moment to imagine the sun is shining, the sky is blue, you're down at a beautiful beach at Southend-on-Sea. You look out and there is the water rippling before you. Sun shining off of it, sparkling diamonds. And someone says to you, I'm going in. And you think, well, for you. However, Maureen gets herself ready. And you watch her going down nearer and nearer to the water. In she goes. And she shouts back to her husband, it's lovely in here. Come and join me. He thinks to himself, you must be joking. However, there is a persistence. There is a continuation of saying, come on, come in, get a move on. And eventually, he comes to the point where he decides that he cannot resist any longer. He goes and steps ankle deep into the water and recognizes why it is he doesn't want to go in anymore. He tries his best, and in his mind and in his ears, these words keep coming, get a move on, get a move on. It'd be great once you get in. Well, there was a time when I did do that, but most of the time I tend to turn around and go back again and leave her to it. Why have I told you that story? Well, because I want to talk about this move that we see that the children of Israel make, which was to take them into a new time and experience of God, into a new chapter. And the challenge for you and for me is that there is a move that God wants to bring into our lives to take us into a new chapter and into a new experience of Him. And the first thing that we notice when we read this passage in Exodus 14 is that what has happened is that they have begun their journey of liberty. They have been taken out of the captivity of the Egyptians, but they're still in Egypt. They've been taken out of the captivity that they had experienced as slaves, and yet they were still in a place where the enemy wanted to continue to enslave them. And so they had begun this journey under the leadership of Moses, and had come to this point in their lives where the enemy was behind them, wanting to take them back into captivity. And there was this barrier of the Red Sea before them with no obvious way through. First thing I want to say to you is that in the plans and purposes of God, His heart is for you to come into liberty and into freedom, into forgiveness, and into experiencing something fresh and something dynamic and amazing in your life that He will reveal to you. But you will find that there is an enemy that continually seeks to try to drag you back into your past. Drag you back into slavery. Drag you back into a place where you do not know and experience what it is that God wants you to experience. Yet at the same time, for many of us, there are those moments in our lives where we can't see the way forward either. Where we are aware that the enemy is trying to drag us back, but we're not sure where God is taking us. And it's that point where we begin to learn some lessons from this passage that we have before us. See, it's interesting that there was a word that was given to the children of Israel, which is a word that I want to bring to some of you. And the word given to the children of Israel was this: be still. Be still, for God will fight for you. And there are some of you that are in a place of turmoil, in a place of struggle, in a place where stillness is not how you would describe your life. There's all sorts of confusion, there's all sorts of things that are going on in your mind, in your heart and in your life, and you're wondering where God is in all of it. But the word God brings to you is a word of be still. A word that says to you, there will come a moment in time, in this experience, in what you're going through at this moment, where I, God, will reveal myself to you. And where you will see something of my majesty and my glory. And so it was here in the children of Israel, in this place, which seemed to be an impossible place to be. It's interesting, just as an aside, that the presence of God to those who are the followers of God was light, but the presence of God to those who rejected him was dark. The presence of God to those who were followers of God was light, but the presence of God to those who rejected him was dark. There's a sense in which the Bible talks about how that if we do not know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, we live in darkness. It doesn't mean the presence of God is there, but it means that we do not recognize the presence of God because it's dark. And yet at the same time, there's the opportunity for us to move out of the darkness into the light. There's a sense in which the Egyptians had the opportunity. Had they been willing to honor God and recognize the God of Israel, they could have moved through that cloud that separated them from the people of God. They could have moved from that cloud out of darkness into light. That is what happened to us when we came to that point where we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what happened to us when we came to that point where we took that step of faith and said, I want to be in the place where I'm no longer living in darkness, but where I'm living in light. We moved in one sense through the presence into a place where there's a revelation of God's light and God's glory. But coming back to this story, we find that here are the people of God crying out to God, uncertain of what to do. And God says this to them, get on with it. Get on with it. And you know, I sense for some of you, that's what God will say to you. Get on with it. You see, what he actually says is, why are the people still crying out to me? Tell them to move. And sometimes what you and I do, this is what we do, we keep praying. And we keep crying out to God, when actually God has already said to us, I've given you the answer. I've given you the way in which you can know and experience the power and the release that I want you to have. It's time to take a step of faith. It's time to move forward. Now, certainly for me, there have been times in my life where I didn't want to take that step of faith. Well, I didn't want to step into the unknown. Well, I didn't want to take the step that would create the opportunity for God to do something dynamic in my life. But you see, the release of the evidence of God's power and God's glory, the revelation of the path that was to be taken, could only come about when the children of Israel took the step. The path was not clear until the step was taken. For them, they had to take the step to the Red Sea, in the belief that as they took the step, then the clarity would come. And there are some of you saying, I'm not sure of the way forward. I'm not sure of the route that I should take. What God will say to you is take a step. Take a step in the direction that I am revealing to you. And as you take the step, the path will become more and more clear. And so it was that the children of Israel, as they prepared to move, so the route became obvious. Reminds me of that verse that we read, and which is quoted very often, certainly by me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. That is a promise that you and I can hold on to, and you and I can live in the expectation of it being fulfilled in our lives. There will be times when it will not be clear to you the way you should go, but you take a step of faith and the revelation will come. But I don't know about you, but I have a certain sympathy with the children of Israel when they saw the route that they were to take and they felt a little bit reluctant to take that route. I mean, it's all very well, say, I'll make a path for you, but when the path involves walking through the sea with walls of water on either side, that is not something that necessarily inspires you with confidence. Because what's keeping those walls of water up there, and what's going to stop those walls of water tumbling down on top of you when you are out in the middle? As you know, Maura and I, we go off narrow boating. And there have been a number of occasions where I have experienced the canal, not being on top of it, but being in it. I've never yet had the opportunity to walk through walls of water. I've always sunk below them, and then I've had to be duly rescued. Here are the children of Israel. They look at the way that God's providing. They think to themselves, well, that's the way. But do we really want to go that way? You know, every step they took had to be a step of faith. Every step they took had to be a step in which they relied totally on God. Some of us need to learn afresh what it means to rely on God. Because some of us have come to the point where we're much more reliant on ourselves. Much more reliant on our own abilities, on our own strength, on our own understanding, on our own wisdom, on our own plans and purposes. We are much more reliant on having our own control of things. The fact remains the children of Israel had no control about what was about to unfold, other than the steps of obedience that they were called to take. They had to continue to walk in the belief that as they relied on God, the miracle would keep happening. Because that's what it was. There was the miraculous provision that was evident before them, but they were living in the experience of the miraculous every time they took a step forward. Every time they took a step forward, there they saw either side of them these great walls of water, and the realization that God alone was the only one that could save them. And God alone was the only one that could keep them. Some of you need to know that in the path that you are taking, your reliance on God must be absolute. Your reliance on God must be at the level where you have a belief that he will continue to provide for you what you need in order that you might move into what he has destined for you. Your reliance on him must be such that you have every expectation that despite what seems to be impossible, he will make it possible because he is the God of power and the God of provision. Some of you need to live in that place where it is not by your strength, not by your power, not by your might, it is by the Spirit of God operating in you, operating through you, and operating for you, that you will see the glory of God manifested. See, many of us, I'm sure, would love to see the miraculous. Many of us would love to see the power of God displayed. Many of us would love to be in that place where we experience the evidence of what it means for heaven to touch earth. But many of us are not willing to be in the place where we take the risk necessary for the release to come. And some of us in the new season and the new chapter that God is moving into us into will have to face the reality that we are going to have to be far more dependent on him and far less dependent on us. Far more reliant upon him and far less reliant upon us. Father, ready to walk in that path that he has chosen us to take, where we live in the experience of day by day recognizing and seeing the evidence of his power at work in us and through us. That is why it was that in the New Testament, for instance, the Apostle Paul could sit in a dark dungeon and still sing songs of praise, despite the pain that he suffered as a result of the torture, despite the chains that held him there, he could still sing songs of praise. In the belief that the God of power could manifest his glory even in the midst of the darkness of the prison. And that's exactly what happened. The interesting thing is that God allowed Paul and Silas to end up in prison because there was a prison officer that needed to hear the word of God that would bring him into a place where he could discover Jesus as Lord and as Savior. Sometimes God will take you to places you don't want to go. But he takes you there in order that you might be the instrument that he might use, so the revelation of his power and glory can be made to those who do not yet know him. It's all very well for us to be grateful and thankful for the fact that we are followers of Jesus and know what it is to be in a place of forgiveness and salvation. But as Paul has already mentioned, there are those out there in the street, in the supermarket, in the shops, who do not know that experience, or do not know that forgiveness, or do not know that salvation that we know. Let's understand that if we are called to be people of mission, if we're called to be people who are to touch and connect with our communities, there will be times when God will reveal a route to us that we need to take. And as we take that route and that step of faith, we need to be totally reliant upon him. And yet in our reliance upon him, there will be a revelation of his glory that will then touch the lives of those who need to be touched. And so it was that the children of Israel were reliant upon God as they continued to make this way along the path that God had revealed to them. One of the other things that we also discover is that not only were they reliant on God, but they also rested in God as well. I love my rest. Some days is a day of rest, so I'm told. I try to make that a reality after my roast dinner that has been lovingly prepared for me. I, having consumed that and then the rice pudding that follows, feel a great need for rest. And so rest is where I head off for. And there I am, resting in peace. I do have resurrection that eventually comes, and that's good to know because I need to be at church this evening, but I'm speaking there. But rest. You know, rest is a wonderful thing. But for many of us, there are times in our lives where rest is the last thing that we experience. Rest is the furthest thing from our minds. Either our circumstances cause us to not rest, or our minds cause us to not rest. Jesus calls us to experience rest. And rest is discovered in peace. Here, the children of Israel were in one place reliant upon God, but in the second place resting in the knowledge that God was with them, watching over them, keeping them and protecting them. That is a wonderful place to be. That's why Jesus said on one occasion to his followers, do you know what? In this world you're going to have trouble. But be at rest. Be at peace. For I've overcome the world. So what he didn't say was, you're not going to have any trouble. What he said was, you can have rest and peace in the middle of the trouble. And that is something that we need to learn and discover. And I recognize in my own life that there are times when I lose my rest and I lose my peace because I lose sight of the fact that I need to be reliant upon God, who brings the revelation of the path that he wants me to take in order that I might progress with him into the destiny that he has for me. So the children of Israel make their way through. Having made their way through, they enter into a new place of recognition of the work of God in their lives. They come into a new place of understanding in a deeper way how God operates, the way that God speaks, the power that God reveals, in order that he might lead them into all that he has for them. And in my own spirit, I sense that there is for us those opportunities we're going to have where we're going to recognize God in new ways. We're going to recognize the power of God in a different way. When we're going to recognize how God touches our lives in a different way, how we're going to recognize that he's brought us into a new opportunity and a new experience of him. You see, now the children of Israel are no longer in Egypt. They're now in the place where they were heading into the destiny and the plans and purposes of God. Did it mean that there were no more battles to face? No. Did it mean there were no more troubles to face? No. Did it mean that they had arrived? No. Some of us need to know we will never arrive until we eventually get to heaven. There's always some progress to be made. That's why I'm always encouraged by the fact that as today I'm taking two old men who hadn't given up, who hadn't stopped going forward, 175, 180, and yet both of them eager to see God at work. And I trust that that might be the sense in which I myself live in that place of expectation. You see, here the children of Israel were released into something, but they were also released from something. They had been released from the power of the enemy, and they were released into the provision of God. Released from the power of the enemy and released into the provision of God. Released from all that held them captive and released into the freedom that God had for them. And so for you and me, I say that there are momentous moves that God wants to bring about in your life and mine, and one of them is a mandatory move, a move where God says to you, stop calling out, get going. And whereas you come to that place of being ready to take that step of faith, uncertain quite what's going to open up for you, you will suddenly see that there will be reveal to you the way that you should go. And then as you continue to take that path that has been revealed to you, in that journey there will be a reliance upon God and yet a rest in God. A reliance on his continued provision and a rest in the knowledge that his presence is with you. That as you go through that path into that next opportunity of all that God has to do for you and will do in you and do through you, so you will have a deeper understanding of who he is. And it brings us to just the final thing. What we read of here is that once they arrived in that new season, in that new chapter, in that new moment in their lives, there was rejoicing. They had a praise party. God loves to party, and he loves to see us party as well. Are you rejoicing in your life? Are you rejoicing in your walk with God? Are you rejoicing in the things that he's doing? Are you rejoicing in the new chapter that we're in? Are you rejoicing in the new season that we're into? If you lost your joy and you're not rejoicing, ask God to take you into the place where you can discover it once again. A joy unspeakable, as the Bible describes, and full of glory. Make that momentous move where God says, stop calling out, get going. And if we get going, God will be going on our behalf, before us and with us and behind us, to ensure we arrive at our destiny. God bless you.